Most of us would set our goals before the start of the year, right? We create our New Year's resolutions only to find out at the end of the year that we fall short of our goals and more often than not, even not taking action on those goals. Does this sound familiar? I'm making this bold statement here on why. Most likely, it's because you did not actually mean to achieve them. Are you getting curious now? This is going to be an interesting topic in today's episode of Grace, Grit, and Glow. Hello, this is Nikki Tang, and for those who do not know me, I am known as the Beautypreneur, and I am the CEO of DeMart Group of Companies. This podcast is all about discovering your inner strength, brilliant mind, and complete sense of beauty. A warm welcome to all of you beautiful people. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, I would like to encourage you to listen to all past episodes through any podcasting platforms out there. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you will stay until the end of the show. Happy listening! Today, we are going to dive deep into why do you keep falling short of your goal? Going back to my bold statement that most likely it's because you didn't actually mean to achieve them. If you disagree, let me clarify. When I say you didn't entirely want to reach your goals, I do not mean you didn't strongly wish to fulfill your goal, and I'm not undermining you. You probably had other aspects of your life that would have been disrupted if you succeeded. For example, you would probably prioritize pursuing success over your family. Or perhaps you hadn't figured out how those goals would fit in with the other things you wanted in your life at the time you set them. Those barriers are not really there in order for you not to succeed, but to learn how to carefully map out everything, meaning strategize. Fortunately, there are simple ways to get past both of those hidden roadblocks, some of which are already tried and tested by myself in my journey as an entrepreneur and a family-oriented person. Have you heard about goal congruence? It means if your goal isn't aligned with another, you're much more likely to fall short of both. This is where your what's in it for me and who am I doing this for comes into play. What this means is that you need to keep everything in line. Usually, when we set a goal, we just define the what and leave at that. It's pretty easy to pinpoint what you merely hope will happen. You're hoping, but there aren't any clear steps on how you get from point A to B. A classic example when a goal is not aligned to others is with your family. Your goal to improve your family's finances pushes you to work hard, but it results in your family life suffering and is the cause of many misunderstandings that could end up in separation. In essence, you have failed because you are doing this for is gone. How do you get your goals lined up? You may genuinely want to spend more time with your family and at the same time, pursue your career goals and get a promotion, as with everyone else. As you can see, there is already conflict there because of time, and it is sometimes really frustrating. Usually, it shows up like this. This weekend, I'm really going to make up for not attending my son's graduation by bringing them to a picnic. The weekend passes you by, and so does the intended picnic. The terrible part is that you already made a promise. Sounds familiar? When you find yourself caught up in this loop, it's time to ask why. Why do I want to spend time with my family? At the back of your mind, the real reason is mostly the feeling of guilt. Putting this perspective in the workplace, working with people who are only interested in their own personal gain is a recipe for disaster. Such employees lack motivation and are not invested in the coordination or success of the organization. The concept of goal congruence involves motivating employees to take actions and make decisions that align with the organization's objectives. Achieving goal congruence is very crucial to an organization's goals. I personally think that transparency is the first milestone in bringing everyone's goals together, don't you think? Being honest in creating oneness with whoever you want to have goal congruence with should be the first step. For example, in our organization, you know the employees' goals and they know those of the organization. Another important aspect of creating goal congruence is target setting. If targets are too high and unrealistic, they will demotivate the employees. If they are set too low, they may reduce productivity and motivation. Defining targets should be interactive and should seek to represent all those affected by them. Agreeing on targets with those who are entrusted with achieving them, it is more likely to be ideal and achievable. Do you feel valued and free to make decisions at work? If you are, you are working in a place that has a happy work environment. Here, work stops being a chore. A happy work environment doesn't mean that people get away with doing anything they want. It is an environment in which there is constructive criticism, communication, and feedback among everyone in the organization. A comfortable work environment reduces irrational behavior and focus on self-interest, but promotes a teamwork culture, which makes goal congruence that is easier to achieve. It is also easier to retain and work with a well-compensated workforce that feels valued. One of the best company cultures is those that look at rewards and retention. Rewards should not focus on just monetary value, but should also have a non-monetary angle. Monetary rewards should reflect the amount of work done, and non-monetary rewards should add intrinsic value to each employee. So getting your goals lined up means putting together transparency, realistic target setting, happy environment, and rewards and retention. It's only by establishing that key reason for wanting to attain each of your goals that you can start getting them aligned with one another. So why people fail to achieve their goals? Actually, only about 80% of people do not really set goals for themselves. They claim they are, but it isn't a real goal setting for people involved in some sort of business or entrepreneurial endeavor. They treat goal setting like a New Year's resolution that most people make and get by it without even trying to fulfill such. Personally, I do not engage in making New Year's resolutions per se because there's so much hype and pressure around them. Besides, I really find that they rarely work. I choose to approach it more like a year-end review of what's gone very well and what has not, and what has exceeded my expectations, both in business and my personal life. The key to achieving goals is really simple. What I do is categorize my goals into two, the be goals and do goals. In other words, who do you want to be or what do you want to achieve? Within each category, there are four areas of goals: wealth, health, relationships, and self-fulfillment. So any goal you set for yourself will fall into one of these areas. If, for example, your B goal is to be a manager in an organization, that would fall in the category of wealth, right? Do you know that some people are afraid they will fail, or even worse, that they may actually succeed? That's fear of success and or failure because of how people will perceive them. In their mind, if they fail, everyone will think negatively of them. On the other hand, if they succeed, people will be envious and will make things hard for them. So it becomes a lose-lose situation no matter how they look at it. Another reason why people fail at their goals is because they do not understand the process of goal setting. One of the processes of goal setting is to write them down, setting a deadline for its completion, and marking off checkpoints as they occur. However, a goal isn't a one-time thing that you eventually scratch off a list. That kind of mentality actually hinders people from success. Goal setting is actually about changing your mindset for the long term. Goals are not short-term or quick-fix ideas that just pop up in your mind. You fail because there's no commitment. For example, if your B goal is to stay slim and fit, you would need to commit to only eating healthy food. The number one reason why diet goals fail is because they don't give the act of goal attainment their full effort. And then, there is inactivity. After setting a goal, writing down dates, and setting checkpoints, some people stop. They never take the first step needed to progress toward their goals. Many people let questions and doubts paralyze them. That's self-sabotage. Self-sabotage sets you up to fail in many ways. It reinforces negative behaviors that eat away your potential for success. Those who self-sabotage themselves are downplaying their success and even questioning if they deserve such success. Some people really do not believe they're worthy of attaining the goal. People who feel unworthy usually lack self-confidence, and confidence is actually the keystone to goal attainment. It is similar to imposter syndrome, which I have discussed in episode 10 of this podcast. There's a lot to learn from that episode as well as, and if you are liking this episode so far, I'm pretty sure you will like it too. Head on to your preferred podcast platform and listen to all my previous episodes. And by the way, please share it to your friends that you feel may need some encouragement and inspiration. So far, we discussed 6 reasons why people keep falling short of their goals. Finally, many people are simply satisfied with what they have and where they are in life. There is no motivation in life. There is research done using the principle of Sigmund Freud that is the core of all the decisions people make. It tells us that there are only 2 motivating factors that cause people to change: pain and pleasure. The pain-pleasure principle suggests that while seeking pleasure, people will also seek to avoid pain. In fact, the intensity of an individual's motivation can work against goals and objectives that a person is trying to achieve, and it can drive a person to make decisions and choices they normally would not. Change and goal attainment only happen when they're ready to break the status quo and truly want something better in life. Let me make a short recap of the reasons why people fall short of their goals. Fear of success and or failure, not understanding the process of goal setting, no commitment, inactivity, self-sabotage, and finally, no motivation in life. Goal achievement doesn't have to be an elusive target. You really can be whom you want and do what you want. By balancing your goals into the 4 categories I've mentioned earlier and avoiding the mistakes that hinder people's results, you can achieve any goal you set for yourself and reach new levels of personal and professional success. So how do you balance your goals? Let's go back to what I mentioned earlier regarding 4 categories which will help you achieve your goals. Those are wealth, health, relationships, and self-fulfillment. There should be a balance in these 4 areas because if not, an excess of one of the areas over the other will ensure a disaster. What if you have lots of money, but you lack sleep? You no longer exercise. You eat a lot of junk foods. Naturally, your health will fail. Life balance and personal happiness do not necessarily depend on earning more money and being successful at work or in business. Other things can have a much bigger impact on our well-being. Our age and life stage particularly affect what makes us happy and balanced, as does our personality, which stems from our genetic type, our upbringing, and life experiences. Work-life balance is therefore changing and different. There is no single model that's right for everyone, and no single approach is right for anyone for their whole life. The search for happiness is further complicated because the factors which most affect our personal well-being are commonly ignored or given very low priority in work and training, and in the media too. In schools, we are taught at an early age to be competitive. Do you remember the time spent in school, how the hours are stretched in order for you to cope with learning each of the subjects? But if you look at how those excel, they manage their time well. They're able to navigate school life with order and balance. The same goes with our career, personal life, and relationships. Life balance can therefore be understood, planned, and achieved just like any other important goal. So how do we achieve work-life balance? For me, it all boils down into one thing: time management. It is a crucial aspect of work-life balance. Left unmanaged and uncontrolled will create a mess in our lives. Time management is a process of organizing and planning how to divide your time between different activities. Get it right, and you'll end up working smarter, not harder, to get more done in less time, even when time is tight and pressures are high. The highest achievers manage their time exceptionally well. A lot of people, I believe, cannot reach their dreams, travel to exotic locations, land their dream jobs, finish their projects before the deadline, get enough sleep every night, and spend enough time with loved ones because they do not have enough time. It's not limited time that's the problem. It's bad time management. Naturally, the opposite of this is good time management, and that is the one that we want to achieve, isn't it? How many of you are doing time management for the many hats you wear? If you're not aware of how to do time management, I will gladly share my personal practice. It's simple. I don't waste time. Once you've done away with wasting time, instead of diving into action, you will want to learn how to use it wisely by using the right time management skills and techniques of time management. To dive deep into effective time management, you can start with my simple techniques. I am self-aware. What do I mean by that? Without being self-aware of your current strengths and weaknesses, you will never be able to assess and improve on your other skills, so you'll never be able to improve your life. Being self-aware means I write down my journal. By doing that, I keep track of the things that I'm doing. I write down my thoughts, dreams, and goals over time. I also write down my strengths and weaknesses. Why weaknesses? Because it helps me see which areas I need to improve on. Think about how to lessen your weaknesses or turn them into strengths and how to make the most of your strengths. I prioritize important tasks. Which are important tasks for me? I actually group them into four quadrants, and those are urgent and important, not urgent but important, urgent but not important, neither urgent or important. It may look like urgent and important at the same, but there is really a great difference between the two. In fact, the difference is this: the urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent. Did you get it? Again, the urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent. Because urgent items are always focused on the present moment, they need attention right now, and if they are not dealt with, the consequences also happen right now. While important items, on the other hand, belong to long-term goals and items of a strategic value, they are slower, connected to a long game of personal or professional or organizational development. Do you see yourself giving attention to urgent tasks at the expense of important tasks? Are you noticing yourself doing that? When a task is both urgent and important, you act. When it is important but not urgent, you plan. When it is urgent but not important, you delegate. When it is neither urgent or important, you eliminate. Does it make sense? It does, right? What is at stake if we fail to distinguish between urgent and important tasks? Everything, really. When you're constantly putting out fires but never building anything, never developing yourself, constantly dealing with other people's problems and not yours, you will find yourself slowly burning out from all the stress, and that's really bad. People who manage their time well concentrate on not urgent but important activities. That way, they lower the chances of activities ever becoming urgent and important, which is the cause of burnout and stress. If you are getting value from the episodes that I'm putting out, I would like to encourage you to leave a comment or your takeaway from this. If you also think that this episode will be of value to someone, please share this episode with them. Before I end my talk on this topic, let me leave you with a beautiful quote from Andrew Carnegie. And I quote, "If you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes." Thank you all for listening. See you in my next episode, which will deal with how you pursue your purpose in life. I promise this will be another enlightening episode for all of you. Lots of love, Nikki.